Good afternoon. I'm Will Murphy, the news director at WFIU, and it's time now for Ask the Mayor. Our guest this afternoon is Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke. He's here to answer any questions you may have about city governance. If you have a comment or question for the mayor, the number is 877-285-9348. That's a toll-free number. In Bloomington, the number is 855-0811. And if you'd like to drop a comment or question via email, that address is mayor@indiana.edu. Once again, the toll-free number, 877-285-9348. In Bloomington, 855-0811. And the email address is mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Burke, welcome.
Well, it's always good to see you. Thanks.
Good to have you on the program as well. There is a lot that we can talk about today, but let's sort of go in reverse chronological order. Yesterday, city engineers had a press conference about, was it yesterday or day before?
I believe it was yesterday.
Addressing some of the comments and concerns about the Margaret Avenue Corridor project. What, first of all, were the major concerns raised by folks, and what were some of the primary decisions made as a result of that input? What sort of things might have been changed or tweaked as a result of the input that you got from the public hearing last month?
Well, I think first of all, I want to say that I want to put in a plug for our engineering department and our consultants, that they do a remarkable job of running these public hearings, because they tend to be emotional, and the way that NDOT requires these to be set up and the Federal Highway is that they take responses, they take comments and questions, and then they prepare responses and come back at a later date to make them. And it makes it for a little frustrating that night, because there's no answers put forth in the immediate, but then measured responses are and fully, I would say, fleshed out responses are then provided later, and that's what this was about. And of course, the Margaret Avenue corridor is very important to Terre Haute. It's over capacity. It's become a artery of choice for our community, but it has some real snags in it. And the primary snag we have is a railroad crossing at 19th and Margaret. I would like to assure all the listeners that not for one single day do we forget that we have a problem there. We are reminded, if not daily, almost daily, that's an unacceptable situation there. But in response to those questions about what are we going to do about that, the immediate solution would be to build an underpass or an overpass, but at somewhere in the neighborhood north of $20 million, that's a solution that we're not ready to pull the trigger on yet, because we feel like that there is still a real good possibility that we can move the rail completely, and that being incorporated into grade separation somewhere else or a new location for the rail would be a much more efficient use of our money, because 19th and Margaret is the south end of a section of rail that we want to remove that crosses all of our east-west streets.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a great deal of angst about that, and continues to be a great deal of angst about that crossing, and it never leaves the radar screen. It's dead in the bullseye, and we work diligently to make sure that does not slip. But we want a permanent solution there, not a Band-Aid. And I think that's well within the scope of what we can accomplish there. There were other concerns about who's going to be affected, how's property going to be acquired, and all of that will be clearly by NDOT and federal standards. There'll be appraisals, and market value will be given for any property that's needed. Of course, people are saying, where are you going to go with it, and et cetera, et cetera. And those decisions just haven't been made yet. I mean, that's part of the engineering process. I'm a firm believer in finding partners in these projects. And there's areas where, like I can tell you on a South 13th project, we moved the road slightly to the west because on the east side of South 13th in a section, there wasn't the property. If we took any property, it would be very painful for the property owners. And on the west side, it was less painful for them. And it's those kinds of decisions that we need to make. And the route doesn't have to be a rifle shot, ramrod straight road through the community.
Now, the first, as I understand it, the first step in the project is going to be the 3rd to 7th Street stretch.
Yes.
And I get the impression you're going to start pretty quickly on acquiring property there and maybe break ground sometime early next year?
Yes. That's being designed as we speak. When we began looking at the corridor, we knew that we would have to do it in phases. We were able, in 05, we were able to get a federal earmark for the corridor, and we've decided that 3rd to 7th is not only is it dreadfully over capacity, it's crumbling infrastructure. It does not put a good face on a section of our community that a lot of our visitors see because of the hotels in the area. Plus, our residents use that connection to 3rd Street a great deal. And so 3rd to 7th is where we decided to begin the process of rebuilding Margaret, and we're excited that next year that project gets underway.
So in a project that, as I understand it, is forecast to, say, take 6 to 10 years, where do you see the 19th and Margaret falling in that timeline?
Well, with it being at dead center of our radar screen, the least bit of movement makes it at the top of the list. But I have to be very candid in this situation that it could be, you know, in the 4 to 6 year range, because of the size of the problem. But if I was to say to people, in 4 to 6 years, that will be gone completely and fixed for your grandkids' sake, I think that would be still a good investment. But if we can get movement sooner than that, then we will delay other projects to make that happen.
When it's all said and done in 6 to 10 years, what's the cost and what's the spread out? Who's paying for what?
Well, the cost for Margaret Avenue is somewhat of a, people have taken a few pot shots at us about a figure of approaching $70 million. But some of that is for property acquisition and grade separations with rail that we're going to certainly seek exterior funding for. And the funds are going to come from, in much the same fashion we do a lot of our projects, we will be drawn from multiple revenue streams to accomplish this, future earmarks in federal dollars. We will be using what they call CMAC funds, which are our safety components of the project. We'll be drawn on those. Where business is positively impacted, we'll use some edit funds. So the funding will be from a diverse group of revenue streams.
But no city tax money, per se. No property tax money.
Well, we'll see very little. Very little of our property taxes go to these type projects. Almost nil. Property taxes go to operating expenses of the city, and for us to do these projects, it comes out of other revenue streams.
Now, it seems to me, and you can correct my characterization if it's incorrect, but it seems like the city of Terre Haute has undergone a lot of construction lately and a lot of detours and rerouting and that kind of stuff. And it sounds like this is going to continue that trend. Is there a limit to driver fatigue that's going to put up with, you know, having to get around in different ways?
Will, I really do appreciate talking about this. Where is the pain threshold? How much can we do is as we're finding out, is not based upon our ability to fund it. We can do that. I mean, we can find the funds to, and we can assemble the expertise to do these projects. But between construction capacity and the pain threshold, that's going to be the thing that we're going to have to monitor very closely. But I'll submit to you, Will, that the pain of not growing in our community, that's not very bearable either. I mean, the pain of watching our young people not be able to chase their dreams here and having to seek other places to live, now that's real pain. The inconvenience of construction, if we do our jobs well and we move quickly, I think we can keep our construction below the pain threshold. People are very accommodating when they feel like that everybody's working hard. It's when projects lag and they see delays that don't make any sense. That's when the pain threshold gets hit. Mm-hmm. Being able to produce a project like Holman Street, even though it was a year of real inconvenience, we've now been able to enjoy that infrastructure a great deal already.
I'll remind our listeners that we're talking with Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke. If you have a comment or question and would like to join in the conversation, the toll-free number is 877-285-9348. In Bloomington, the number is 855-0811. And if you'd like to drop an email, that address is mayor@indiana.edu. We have the mayor's time for another 15 minutes or so. You mentioned infrastructure and the whole notion of economic development and keeping folks, kids in town so that they have a chance to have gainful employment in the community. Just by sort of a little conversational detour here, there's a state delegation going to Japan, and you've got an area representative on that delegation, Clyde Kersey. Have you been in conversation with him at all about what he's going to be speaking with the Japanese about?
No, I've not had any conversations with Clyde about the actual talking points or what his itinerary there in Japan, but Clyde has been very, very involved with us in looking at our inland port initiative and rail relocation and our industrial parks. Clyde Kersey will represent us quite well in Japan from the standpoint of we firmly believe that there's only two choices to make. You can bring your business to Terre Haute or you can make a mistake. So Clyde is a great champion for Vigo County. So we will be having the summer study committee, now that it's fall, on September 18th, next week. The legislative subcommittee will be here to talk about transportation and the inland port proposal. Unfortunately, I won't be at that meeting. I'll be in D.C. We'll leave Monday for D.C. and we'll be out there working on those revenue streams.
Those earmarks, that's right. We may come back to this, but right now we have a caller on the line, so let's go to Russ. Hi, Russ.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks for calling.
I'd like to ask the mayor a question. My wife and I just moved into the area recently, and there's one thing about Terre Haute that has fascinated us no end, and that is when we drive into town at night down 3rd Avenue, all we get is this stench that we can't understand why that is allowed to happen where we came from into this area. If something like that existed, the people would be up in arms overnight. And we don't understand why the city allows that to happen. So I wanted to ask the mayor if he could explain that to us. every time we ask a Terre Haute individual about it, they just shrug their shoulders and look the other way. So apparently it's been accepted for quite a long time.
All right, Russ. Thanks for that call. I hadn't heard it phrased quite that way, but it is an ongoing sort of topic of discussion. Mayor, what's your take?
Well, I would thank Russ for the call, and I welcome him to our community. And I would have to agree with him. For far too long, we've accepted things that we did not necessarily have to accept. We've made great strides with, shall we say, the air quality in Terre Haute. And later this year, we will be receiving our feasibility study on our wastewater treatment utility, and we will be moving ahead with the odor elimination plan that we have there. Our local industries are regulated. The stench that Russ has identified or has pointed out, I understand everyone's characterization. For a long time, we have dealt with some air quality issues in Terre Haute, but those are dramatically improving. I think you can, unfortunately, we're losing the paper mill at the end of this month, so there will be an elimination of an odor that has been in Terre Haute for over 100 years and employed our people for a long time. So as we continue to work on our air quality, I'm perfectly willing to say that we've improved that dramatically in the last 3 years, and in the next couple of years, they will see the elimination of all odor from our wastewater utility. We've had to make dramatic improvements to the infrastructure of our wastewater facility because we don't intend to accept poor air quality. We can change that, and we are.
I get the impression from what you say that it's not strictly a single point source kind of problem, that there are multiple contributors to this situation.
Right. For us to say that there's one worse than the other, it would be disingenuous. I mean, it's no big mystery in Terre Haute. Our railroad tie manufacturer does cause an odor. Our paper mill caused an odor, and unfortunately our wastewater utility has contributed to that odor. And sometimes you get a pretty you get a pretty offensive casserole out of the three of those. The only thing that I will pledge at this point is that we're not ignorant of the situation, and we are making strides to improve the air quality. I look forward to the day that when someone mentions the smell in Terre Haute, they can say, well, that's history.
All right. You heard it from the mayor. It's on the agenda.
Absolutely.
We have another listener with an email question this time. Mayor Burke, with the construction of roundabouts planned for the Brown Avenue project, don't you feel that in an industrial area such as this, semi-tractor trailers would have great difficulty negotiating these turns? Sure, a roundabout is aesthetically pretty, but how practical would it be under these circumstances?
Well, the proposed roundabouts on Brown Boulevard will have design standards where semis will have no difficulty in those. And, you know, we've researched this, and not only is it an industrial area, it's a recreational area. It has a residential component. It will become, in our opinion, a highly utilized north-south artery of addition to our community. Roundabouts, we believe, and at this point they're still proposed. We're seeing real positive results from roundabouts in that they produce better traffic flow. They help with air quality standard. With $3 a gallon fuel, you're not sitting waiting for traffic to cross in front of you. And the semi question, as far as the ability for semis to be able to to make ingress and egress in this. If semis aren't able to make, let me just say that we understand that there is an industrial component to this corridor, and the design standards will simply be at a point that semis can make this type of a loop.
All right, so it's aesthetically and functionally viable is what you're saying.
Yes, yeah,
so
the aesthetics is one thing, you know, and I understand that people, there's a cost versus benefit factor in that. But we're also looking at this corridor being multi-use. I mean, there'll be a trail involved. This will be an opportunity for us to put a trail and mass transit right next to our Boys and Girls Club Park, next to our Indiana Mile at Memorial Stadium. You know, the idea that our young people could maybe ride their bike to ball practice safely and get back home, I mean, these are the kind of components that we really look forward to adding to this corridor. Well, part of that is you're looking at the safety, roundabouts or traffic calming. There's a lot that we're trying to accomplish with this corridor. And I believe that we can cohabitate. I believe that industry and recreation and residential can, if done properly, can use the same artery.
All righty. We have about 7 more minutes talking with Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke. And if you have a comment or question, 877-285-9348 or in Bloomington, 855-0811. Or the email address is mayor@indiana.edu. This past weekend, a landmark day for the 181st as they sort of make the migration to Fort Wayne. How is that shift changing the function of home and field?
Well, we're very excited, Will, about the new missions that have been assigned to our Air Guard wing here. As those new missions ramp up, it's going to be an exciting time for Terre Haute. It's very emotional losing the jets. I mean, they've been there for over 50 years, and we've watched a number of types of jets as it's progressed and come through time, there's a lot of history there. But we're also very encouraged that we're securing the future for our Air Guard and our National Guard as well, in this base being a viable base on into the future. We're very excited. We're seeing monies being earmarked and designated through our delegation in D.C. We got a press release from Senator Bayh's office last week that he secured $7.7 million for a new facility at the air base. I know they're going to build a new gate facility for the entrance to the guard. I mean, the new missions, I believe, position us in our most BRAC-proof position, and it secures our future as much as it can for the future viability of the base. And, it's going to continue to create jobs there and careers. And the other exciting part for us, these are going to be highly technical jobs with a lot of technology. And once again, we've got the human capital here with our four universities. I mean, we feel like we can produce the workforce that the Guard needs to protect our country.
What's the net gain of positions with this transfer?
I would say when the new missions are completely ramped up, there's a potential of about 100 spots increase. But then that's still rather fluid. These missions, because they're new, by nature, then it's hard to lock these down. But we also know that the better you perform, the better your recruiting rates come in and your retention rates and all these things, the better you do at your job, the more you the more successful you are. And we're just thrilled that we're going to get to compete at the front end of what the Department of Defense is doing, not at the tail end, which is, you know, the jets.
All righty. A couple of groundbreaking events literally this past week, and one of them, perhaps one of the more substantial ones, is one that you kind of had to fight for in terms of running into opposition. And I'm speaking, of course, of the groundbreaking at the hospital for the expansion of their campus.
Well, it's very exciting. The $178 million construction project. Yes, there was the closing of one block of 7th Street to turn 2 7-acre footprints into one 15-acre footprint. It has allowed us to facilitate the building of a state-of-the-art medical facility that will make our medical field and our medical providers a destination here in Terre Haute. The renderings are beautiful. I mean, this is something that that any community in the nation would be proud to have, and we deserve it, and we're glad to see it come to Terre Haute. As we look at the type of employment that our young people are looking for, I mean, not only from the retention of our young people in the medical field, but the attraction of the physicians and specialists and caregivers that we need locally. I mean, we're going to be better at that. We're going to be in a better position to recruit. And quite frankly, Will, I want to see people in Bloomington have to come to Terre Haute for medical care instead of us going to Indianapolis. So, I mean, you've interviewed me for a couple of 3 years now, and you know that this is about attracting people to Terre Haute. And this, when we start talking about bringing business here and recruiting people for our indigenous businesses, I mean, the medical component is now going to be greatly improved.
Just as a kind of sidebar to this whole story, I know in Columbus and Bloomington, there's a problem with long-term acute facilities having to shut down because of legislation that took effect last month. Are you having that problem with the comparable facility in Terre Haute?
Yeah, we lost Health South last month. I mean, I'm just not wise enough to know all the answers to what we're facing in the medical field. I just know that it has become very acute, the need to balance care and affordability, and that's why I'm encouraged that that we can still compete and that we've got the opportunity to build, you know, a 300-bed hospital where all the rooms are going to be private. And some people say, well, that's just for convenience. When you start looking at the added value of fighting infections by having private rooms, I mean, it's becoming, you know, we went from wards to semi-private rooms and now to private rooms, and it's more than just convenience. This is about quality of care. So we're really excited about this. I mean, Terre Haute deserves it.
It's true. I would agree with that assessment. And it's been – how long is this – and we've got about 40 seconds left. How long is this project going to take?
They're saying it's about a 2-year build cycle. So they'll be beginning very shortly, and we'll get to watch this for a couple of years. It'll be exciting.
It's always a mixed blessing, it seems to me. I find myself wondering if it's actually going to be possible to drive in Terre Haute with the Margaret Project, the hospital thing, all these things going on. But it's good news for you long term, I guess.
Well, I'd like to dispel the rumor that we find out what road you're using and go blow it up. That is not so. But quite frankly, Will, we've been behind and we're catching up, and it's going to take some more work.
All righty. Mayor Burke, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Will.
It's been a pleasure. We've been visiting this afternoon with Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke. I'm Will Murphy. Join us again on the 19th of this month when our guest will be Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan. On behalf of producer Adam Ragusea and engineer Mike Pashkash, I'm Will Murphy. Thanks for listening.